from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Longtime San Francisco public defender Jeff Adachi died suddenly of an apparent heart attack on Friday. He is being remembered as a champion of civil rights on issues like criminal justice reform.
I fought very hard to ensure that our office has the resources needed so we can investigate cases, give our clients the same representation they would get if they could afford to hire a lawyer.
Coming up on Forum, we'll look back at Jeff Adachi's life and career, and then at 9:30, NPR's Ron Elving joins us to discuss the latest news from Washington. It's all coming up next, after this. Welcome to this morning's Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. San Francisco public defender Jeff Adachi died on Friday at the age of 59 of an apparent heart attack. He is being remembered as a champion of issues like police accountability, bail reform, and pension reform, and he also fought for legal representation for children and the undocumented. Mayor London Breed praised Adachi as a staunch advocate for those who didn't have a voice. A fourth-generation Japanese-American, Adachi's parents and grandparents were interned during World War II. He said this experience inspired his commitment to fighting injustice. First elected back in 2002, Jeff Adachi was reelected four times, most recently in 2018. He also made a bid for mayor in 2011. According to the Public Defender's Office, Jeff Adachi was having dinner with a friend in North Beach Friday night when he began to have trouble breathing. He was brought to an apartment near Coit Tower and then taken to a local hospital where he died shortly before 7 p.m. In this half hour, we're going to look back at Jeff Adachi's life and career, and if you have a memory or a comment you'd like to share, call us now at our toll-free number. The number to call, 866-733-6786. That number again, 866-733-6786, or email us forum@kqed.org. Joining us here in studio for this segment, Scott Schaefer, senior editor for KQED's California Politics and Government Desk and co-host of Political Breakdown, a weekly podcast and radio program. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, Michael.
And let me also say good morning to Matt Gonzalez, who's also here with us in studio, chief attorney, San Francisco Public Defender's Office, where he's now running day-to-day operations until Mayor London Breed picks a replacement for Jeff Adachi. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you, and good to have you both. And first off, I'd like to extend sympathies to the Adachi family and also to the Public Defender's Office. They've built a kind of altar already for Jeff. What do we know, Scott, about the death? I mean, there's been all kinds of mixed reports. It's a heart attack, clearly, but there's also been other things in the news. What can we put together here?
Well, the police are investigating. Anytime there's the death of a public official, of course, you want to know exactly what happened. He was, as I think you said, out for dinner in North Beach on Friday nights with a friend. The friend told the Chronicle that he had taken some kind of pill. He had been complaining of, sort of stomach discomfort. And then later, paramedics were called on his phone, and they arrived. Apparently, there were efforts to resuscitate him, but he was taken to the hospital and was later pronounced dead within an hour or so. And there will be a coroner's report sometime soon, maybe as soon as today. Matt probably knows more about all that than I do, but that's what we know.
What do we know, Matt?
Well, I think that's, from what I understand, a fairly accurate account. He was at a restaurant in North Beach. He had some kind of, I think it was stomach pains initially. What I understand is he may have taken like an antacid pill or something like that, hoping to, get some kind of relief. And thereafter stopped breathing and, 911 was called and, they weren't able to save his life.
Well, it's a terrible loss and a shock. I wrote on Facebook that my first experience was shock and also dismay and sadness. And I said he was 58, but he was actually 59. And you said, I want to talk right about, get to the legacy with you, Matt Gonzalez. You told the Examiner he was a first champion, fierce champion for justice. Indeed, that's the case, but also justice, particularly for the underdog.
He was always in every fight that was anywhere within his purview, that, standing up for the vulnerable and poor. And, that made him very special. you know, the law office that he built, he really transformed and modernized it. And he did it by hiring good people and really demanding things of them. And it was the first time that we started keeping track of things like how many motions an attorney filed, how many trials did they do, just kind of some of these metrics. You know, did they meet with their clients immediately? Did they stay in touch with family? And, you know, every person in that office, even a clerk at the front desk, we would have multiple interviews with that person. These interviews might take 30, 45 minutes in the hiring decision. And, you know, when I first did that with Jeff, I thought, this is, like, not sustainable. I mean, we got 200 employees. This is going to be really hard. And I learned something from him. You know, devoting that attention and committing to that meant that you were in a better place with all of your employees later because you actually knew something about them and they knew that you cared about them.
He actually did also some trial work, and he was also involved in pension fight. Remember that with Gavin Newsom?
I do remember that. You know, the pension battles are something that many on the progressive community still hold against him. I think as he tried...
He didn't make any friends with the unions that time.
Exactly. You know, he looked for why the public defender couldn't get more resources. And he saw this other problem eating up resources, public resources. And so he just saw it as a way that, hey, if I can fix that, there'll be more resources to do all the kind of programming that we need throughout the city on social issues.
Yeah, I'd like to hear actually a cut. This is Jeff Adachi on why he battled for funding for his office.
If you don't have a strong, well-funded public defender's office, if you have a public defender who's got 500 felony cases at a time, what kind of justice are you going to get? And so that's why I fought very hard to ensure that our office has the resources needed so we can investigate cases, file all the motions, give our clients the same representation they would get if they could afford to hire a lawyer.
Scott, you're going to add something.
Yeah, a couple things, you know, just in listening to him there. You know, when he says he fought for the funding, he fought for the funding. I mean, he went over to the Board of Supervisors. Marisa Lagos, who covered City Hall for the Chronicle at the time, you know, tells stories about him waiting outside of supervisors' offices. He was personally going to lobby to prevent deep cuts, I think, that were on the table in maybe it was 2009 during the depths of the recession. And part of what enabled him, I think, to take the lead on issues that were not always popular, like pension reform, is that he wasn't accountable to anybody but the voters. He is the only elected public defender in the state of California. Every other county has an appointed public defender. And that's
elected four times, in fact.
Elected, I think, five.
Five
actually,
times.
Five times.
Sorry.
He had just been sworn in for his fifth term. And, you know, I think that gave him a kind of independence that he used to advocate on behalf of his clients and his office and on issues that he cared about, whether it was bail reform or pension reform.
It's a tremendous legacy, and I mean, just a personal note, he was a hell of a nice guy, and he was always available to us when it came to matters. And he also, and many people don't necessarily know this side of Jeff, he was a real film buff and actually made a number of movies, which were pretty good, actually, documentary movies and movies about incarceration. Going back to incarceration, in fact, he was somebody who really was concerned. In fact, weren't you working, Matt, in the office now on... shall we say, attorneys doing too much in the way of plea bargaining? That was one of his most recent projects, I know.
Well, I think, you know, he was really focused on the idea of, like, the overcharging by prosecutors of cases because it encourages
to make a deal.
Plea bargaining, yeah. Because you're so scared of what the outcome can be. So, you know, we saw, you know, over the years there's just been a lot of, for instance, attempted murder charges filed in cases that, you know, we felt should just be assault cases. If you're facing, you know, 15 to life or, you know, some massive number of years and you get offered a felony for a small number of years, you might jump at that fearing that larger number. And so he was realizing, hey, I don't want to put the accused in that position. Let's start with a true charging, you know, dynamic so that we can work from there. And that was his recent focus.
And he was also, Scott, lasering in for quite some time on bail reform, on police misconduct. I mean, the whole racist texting, he was right in the center of really coming out with strong rhetoric on that, as well as action.
Absolutely. And he was able to get, I think, more than a dozen convictions overturned because of potential bias from the officers who testified in those cases where they were also sending these texts. And I think that, you know, this is another example of, you know, we have an adversarial system, the public defender and the district attorney, and it's usually the DA and the police against the public defender, in a sense. He was not afraid to keep those folks accountable. He even pressured Kamala Harris when she was the attorney general in California to more fully investigate police shootings and killings of unarmed men of color, something she resisted for a time. And yet, in spite of all that, you know, when he died on Friday, the accolades and the memories, the honorific statements that came in from Kamala Harris and George Gascon, the district attorney, and the mayor, London Breed, the police chief. I mean, they didn't always agree with the public defender, whether it was Jeff Adachi or someone else. But because of his character and his sincerity, I think, and his doggedness, but always doing it, I think, from his perspective and in the view of many, in a fair way, even when they disagreed, you know, even when the office disagreed with law enforcement.
Chronicle editorial said grace and grit. And I think that's, aside from being alliterative, that's a good way. And there's another personal story here about Jeff Adachi, and that's his own family incarceration because he was of Japanese heritage. Let's actually hear what he had to say about that.
I remember I was in third grade when I learned about it, and a teacher mentioned about this internment, and back then, no one talked about it. And so I got in a fight with this other kid who said, oh, your parents were in jail. And I got suspended, and my parents were like, well, why'd you get in trouble? I said, well, over this thing about them saying that you guys were in camps. I said, was that true? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, well, how did that happen? Did you commit a crime? No. The government put 120,000 people. And it really made me upset that that had happened because they were third-generation Japanese-Americans, so their great-grandparents were from Japan.
Made him a fighter, Scott Schaefer.
It did, and I think he saw firsthand what injustice looked like from his parents and his grandparents, and I think it sort of outraged him. He was surprised, and first he'd been sort of bullied in school about it. Then when he learned about it, even as a young kid, it really motivated him to pursue this as a career, and I think it really helped shape pretty much everything, his worldview and the way he looked at the criminal justice system and racial bias.
We're going to bring our listeners into this. In fact, let me invite you, especially if you have memories of Jeff Adachi, if you know of his work or were familiar with it or, in fact, were affected by it or touched by it, inspired by it, or, for that matter, critical of it. We're sort of evaluating his legacy, and it is an extraordinary legacy. Anyway, I think you cut it. You can join us at our toll-free number. We invite you to do that. 866-733-6786 is the number to call. This was really a public servant, I think, in every sense and meaning of that, and we welcome your calls. Again, 866-733-6786. Great loss for the city of San Francisco and a great legacy. And I'm already getting some comments. By the way, you can email us, forum@kqed.org, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum, or join us by going to our website, kqed.org/forum. Rich writes, Mr. Adachi was known to be an extraordinary advocate for his clients and watchdog over the San Francisco judicial system. He will be terribly missed. Another listener says Jeff Adachi also made life easier for hundreds of California law students studying to pass the bar exam with his inexpensive bar breaker essay writing books and bar study cards. And indeed, that's another part of the legacy. Here's a tweet. I'm going to go to you on this, Matt Gonzalez, from Olivia, who says, for those of us who were not aware until now of Jeff Adachi, what's the first thing people usually think about when thinking of him?
Well, he was such a fighter. You know, he seemed to stand up to all the other criminal justice partners and demand, you know, due process and equal protection of the laws. I think it is quite telling that George Gascon, Bill Scott, Vicki Hennessy, all people that Jeff
battled with
is the right word, have all been very gracious at this time and made very genuine overtures.
Do either of you know anything about that case that he lost back in 1990? Because it's a real case study in many ways of how he operated. Even back in the day, he was just out of Hastings Law, UC Hastings Law School, and he represented an African-American named Tennyson, John Tennyson. And from what I remember about the case and from what I've read about it, he thought the guy certainly got an unfair trial, was sentenced, did 14 years incarcerated. There was all kinds of evidence that proved that wasn't offered and everything. You know about this case, Matt?
I do. You know, as I recall, in 1999, I read a letter from a family member in one of the Western Edition newspapers, and it was a short letter about this injustice in the Tennyson case. And I remember cutting it out of the newspaper, and back then we still mailed things. I sent it to a reporter at the Bay Guardian, A.C. Thompson, and he started looking into it and ended up writing a big story. And I think the attorneys at Kekkonen Van Ness ran across it because one of the attendants at the parking garage next door was a family relative of one of the two men. Jeff had taken that defeat very hard. It was a very early murder trial for him. And sure enough, after years of litigation, those appellate attorneys were able to overturn the conviction.
And he just kept fighting on
that's
that.
Right.
I mean, that was the remarkable thing about it. And there was another confession that was never put forth by the prosecutor. And I mean, it was kept from Jeff Adachi as the defense lawyer by the prosecution. It was a case that just showed how dogged he was and how remarkable his fighting spirit was. And in fact, we mentioned Matt mentioning the Bayview, Scott. There were community programs that were started by Jeff Adachi, not only in the Bayview, but in the Western Edition as well.
Yeah, no, he was, I think, very much engaged with the community. You know, the public defender's office in general, I think, is not a glamorous place, and it's not generally well-funded. I think when Jeff became public defender, I think maybe there weren't even computers in the office. I mean, it was kind of a revolving door of justice, and some would even question whether it was justice at all. And I think that he looked for all kinds of ways in the community, in the courts, in the system, with the DA and the police department to make the system more fair and to get people more involved in their own justice system.
Here's a comment from Norma that I want to read. She writes, as a member of the legal community, I greatly appreciate that Jeff reminded all lawyers of conscience that it is our duty to uphold the constitutional rights of the most vulnerable. He never wavered from his commitment to seek justice for those who justice could forget, especially people of color, the indigent, the accused, and the convicted. He reminded all that constitutional rights belong to everyone, not just the privileged. We're going to go to your calls, and I remind you that you can join us at our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786. And first, we'll be joined by Nancy in Sonoma. Nancy, good morning.
Yes, hi. Several years ago, my husband and I went to a performance at ACT that they did a one-man show with Stephen Anthony Jones about Thurgood Marshall. But one of the best things about the performance was wonderful, was Jeff Adachi spent an hour and a half doing a program beforehand talking about the legacy of Thurgood Marshall. He was wonderfully instructive and funny and just a great, it was just a great addition to learning more about the court and about Justice Marshall.
I agree with you, Nancy. I was at that, and I saw that talk of Jeff's, and it stayed with me as well as obviously stayed with you. Thank you for that call, and let me bring another caller aboard here. Charles, join us. You're on the air.
Yeah, quick comment. Jeff Adachi was a shining light on the legal community for almost two decades, and he will be missed, and I hope we are able to replace him with someone of like caliber and commitment. That's all.
Okay. I'm glad, and I appreciate your statement, and thank you for it. Processor replacement, Scott?
Well, I believe your other guest here, Matt Gonzalez, who was the chief attorney in the office, is now the acting public defender, and the mayor will decide in the coming days or weeks who to name as the interim public defender, and then there will be an election in November. He was just sworn in January for another four-year term, so there will be an election, and you know whether Matt will be a candidate or not, I don't know. But clearly, as the earlier caller said, it's a big job to fill.
If called upon, will Matt Gonzalez serve, Matt?
I would be honored to have the position, but I'm very mindful that it's a decision the mayor gets to make. And I was speaking with Scott earlier, I'm really not interested in repeating the Kim Burton, Jeff Adachi fight that happened so many years ago. It really tore the office apart. And, I trust that the mayor will make a good choice. She knows the mission of our office. She's actually taken a lot of interest in the work we do. And, I I'm going to do everything I can to support that pick.
Well, has Kim Burton expressed interest in running again? Do we know?
I have no idea.
You mentioned that. I haven't heard that name.
I think he's saying that it was a very disruptive moment in the period in the office, and he's not wanting to repeat that.
That's right. Jeff had been the chief attorney, and he was fired with the selection of Kim Burton and thereafter ran for office, and it was just very difficult.
You and Jeff, of course, were both at one time mayoral candidates, too.
That's right. We share that with quite a number of people in this city. Tony Serra, I think, Jello Biafra. There have been a lot of us.
I'm also reflecting back and thinking about Jeff. I remember there was an event that I went to and saw him at that was essentially a fundraiser for underprivileged kids. And those were the kind of things that he did on his spare time. You know, he was obviously doing so many things and had a myriad number of activities he was involved in, but he always had time for those kinds of things as well, like going to talk to that Thurgood Marshall event.
That's right. I mean, he just had so much energy, and he was just genuine about it. There are so many stories I've heard from the volunteer in our office years ago that he still has a lunch with every year to be with, and the police officer who, you know, didn't pass the bar exam when he took it, and Jeff sat down and met with that and worked with him, for free, you know, just trying to help him over a 4 or 5 different course effort. These are the stories that people don't realize. I mean, he was a good human being, you know.
A very decent, kind-hearted man, and he'll be remembered for that, among many other things. What do you want people to know about his legacy, Matt?
I think when I think of Jeff, I just think of this this person that was a defender of the downtrodden. He stood up to authority. And, didn't back down. And if he lost, he appealed. If he lost the appeal, he tried to find new evidence that was a habeas petition. And also someone that was an important leader at a time of transition. I remember being in a courtroom waiting for my case to be heard when Jeff was trying to get a motion granted in a murder case, and a judge disparagingly, who did not agree with Jeff's position, said, do you have any other cases from the Tokyo Reporter? And we all just the audience just kind of gasped, like, whoa.
I just gasped.
and Jeff didn't miss a beat. He was still arguing his case. And later, you know, got that ruling overturned because of that misconduct, in effect.
Yeah.
It's a passionate reformer that he will best be remembered as, and a man, like I said, of decency and good heart. Scott, you want to add anything before we conclude?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was somebody for whom the phrase justice for all really meant something. And he worked for decades to make that a reality in San Francisco, and in many cases where people would have preferred that the person not get a very good defense. I mean, a lot of times the public defender takes cases that are in the public media where there's a really awful crime that has happened, a tragic death in some cases, but he knew that the role of the public defender was to give them the best, most competent defense possible, and that's what he set out to do.
Glad we had this opportunity to remember Jeff Adachi.